Meanwhile, after the battles with Orcus, Iron Man and Emma Frost decide to have a conversation about where the relationship stands.
Oh, Anthony, we can't stay together. We hardly know each other. You know nothing about me.
I feel I know everything about you. And those nights we spent together, me deep inside you, turning into diamond form right around my dick. I don't need to know anything else. Besides, I knew you were in the Hellfire Club. I knew you used to be a bad guy. I'm fine with everything. I love
you. That is just scratching the surface. If you only knew the depths to which I go, Anthony.
I'm sure it's fine.
But my history.
Oh, come on. How bad could it be? What else did you do?
Well, let me walk you through it. Well, I started out at a club where I just insisted on being all geeshed up and high on cocaine constantly. I would slap every woman I saw who was lower than me in the totem pole.
Okay.
Then I would murder, I would steal, I would cheat, I would theft.
Kids or anything, right?
Well, I kidnapped Kitty Pride when she was like, I think she was like 11 years old.
And you didn't do anything to horses, did you?
Well, I did blow up Firestar's pony Butter Rum, but that's not even the worst part. It's called Butter Rum because I used to mix butter with rum and drink it.
That's disgusting. Okay. Anything else?
Yes, there's so much more. I only eat foods with golden raisins in them and beets. Everything I eat has to have beets in it.
But you're good at being faithful, right?
No, I cheated in the astral plane with Scott Summers right behind Jean Grey's back. I did it in a way that I knew she would catch us. Also, I make my own mayonnaise. I know, it's like a white queen thing. It's never quite turns out right, but I put it on everything, everything. Also, I haven't done any taxes. Anthony? Oh, Anthony, where did you go? Oh, good, it worked. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 294 of Comic Book Queers, Legacy. I am your host, Brett, and with me, as always, is Captain Evil Jeff. Hello, Evil.
Captain Evil. I like
Captain
that.
Captain Evil, that would be your name. Sorry, I was looking at a picture of Captain America when I meant you.
Like a drawn one or Chris Evans?
No, a drawn one.
Okay.
Yeah, like the actual guy.
Ooh.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I'm still like off of a high.
Off that high from X-Men 97.
X-Men cartoons. And yeah. I'm telling you, people can't even come for it. There's one dude, and it was like this 21-year-old on TikTok. And he's like, why are we remaking this? The fact this is a hit. This is made for people in their 30s and 40s. This is lame. We don't want to see this. And everyone's like, shut the fuck up, you piece of shit.
Shut up, you piece of shit.
And then I love the idea that 20 people are mad that like, yeah, something was made for someone in their 30s. What are you going to do about it?
Bitch? What are you going to do about it? We're still alive.
I'm just off of a high, but there was a ton of X-Men books the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, so we neglected the X-Men books because we were basically obsessed with the shiny new object and a substantial one. That is X-Men 97. But
do we have any hot topics to talk about? I have a hot topic I'd like to bring up.
Oh my God, we'll hit that music.
Hit it.
We got some hot topics. Yeah.
It's just a little preview snippet of a movie coming out.
I think I know what you mean.
Luckily you can say the title of this without bringing the person forward.
Thank
because
goodness.
Because you're only saying it twice. It's Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Careful. Oh, okay. Whew, stop there.
I know, yeah, but that is a brilliant sequel title. It's brilliant.
Brilliant title.
But now I'm like, you have to do a Beetlejuice.
No, you can't.
But the fact that the snippets are showing Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hara, and Jenna Ortega at a funeral, which is probably the husband who was arrested for pedophilia, and they just have to.
Right. I was gonna be like, what are they gonna do about the Jeffrey Jones problem? Up, oh, it opens with his funeral. Okay,
but people dying, wouldn't he be a ghost technically? But who?
Who knows where he died?
Where's Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin?
Right. That's what I want to know, because you're not gonna see Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, because he's going to jail.
Right.
But just Catherine O'Hara, Winona Ryder, and Jenna Ortega, like,
oh my God, powerhouse.
100% for that. I'm here for that.
How about Winona Ryder has the exact same haircut as she did as Lydia,
and it looks great.
It's insane.
It came back.
It came back. The high bang came back.
Oh, so fucking cool.
It's just so cool. I mean, they lean into Deo, and they lean into the little miniature version of the town where Beetlejuice lives. You do see Beetlejuice at the end.
Yes. And I will say, this is the last time I'm going to allow it. I'm going to specifically run for Congress.
Okay.
And pass a law. And as soon as I get this law passed, I will leave. I'm not even going to like try to help the economy or anybody. Oh, all I'm okay. going to do is pass a law that you can no longer put a slow minor key version of a song in
a trailer. Yeah, thank you.
We have to
now
stop.
It used to be just horror movies, and now
it's everything.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Like, I can't. I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Like, stop it.
Stop.
Every song. I saw the sign. I'm sure that one was used for something.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Mary
probably for that movie Signs.
Had a little laugh.
Oh,
like, stop it. Stop
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, I'm just super jazzed for that. I need that in my life.
Okay, but if you, here's a put you on the spot question. If you were doing the music bed for the first MCU X-Men movie, and they were like, it has to be a popular or formerly popular song slowed down, what would you pick?
Oh shit.
Like, what would be the slowed down song that plays in the X-Men trailer?
I would do Snap's I've Got the Power.
Oh, I've got, can you really slow that down?
I've got the power.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
What's another I would do You Ought to Know kind of dark too.
Uninvited, which is already
someone. Oh yeah, Uninvited are, I feel Uninvited has definitely been used in a trailer.
Oh, it's
before.
So good.
What's like a really happy,
I would do George Michael's Freedom.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's good.
I won't let you down. I will not give it up.
I recently rewatched that music video. Flawless.
Flawless music video.
And
iconic.
It made me miss. I was like, oh, I remembered when there used to be supermodels.
I miss that. Now all we have is Kaia Gerber.
Yeah. Kaia Gerber, who, oh, just another thing. I don't want to talk about the whole thing, but I watched Palm Royale.
Oh, the Kristen Wiig joint on Hulu?
Kaia Gerber appears in that briefly.
She's in that.
But have you watched that?
No.
It's very, people either hate it or they love it, and I kind of love it. But it's Kristen Wiig in the 60s taking down a rich elite. So that she can be part of a country club.
Oh, I definitely want to see this.
Yeah, Carol Burnett. What's her name? Bibb. What's her name?
Oh, Lauren Bibb. Leslie Bibb.
Leslie Bibb.
Yeah.
It has the girl from Newhart. What's her name?
Bibi,
Julia,
no.
Julia Duffy.
Julia Duffy. Oh, my God.
Allison Janney.
Yeah, it's no. I have to see this.
And then it has Ricky Martin being gay and having sex with men. It's pretty fun.
Have you, so there's another 90s bring back trailer that debuted.
Oh, what?
The Crow with Bill Skarsgård.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It looks terrible.
Is he going to be killed while filming too?
Right?
Terrible.
No, I hope not.
That was not a funny joke.
The only, I'm not laughing at that. The only, that was devastating. The only thing that looks good is his body. Like, he's wearing no shirt and just a leather jacket and just giving,
he's
just giving so much body.
There's some people, like, I'll tell you this. I have a type, and my type is usually short. It is usually not white. And he is somehow, and is usually not like blue eyes or blonde.
He's like the antithesis, but.
But he can, like, ever since he showed up on True Blood, I was like, I am your servant.
No, honey, it's Pennywise.
Oh, it's Pennywise? The other Skarsgård?
Yeah.
Oh, he can get it too. That whole fucking family. Even the dad. I'll let him off.
Even Stellan, as the Baron in Dune, can get it.
Yeah, they all can get it.
In that oily shit.
Wait, what's their names? What's the different names?
Alexander is the Tarzan True Blood guy.
Oh, okay. And then the other one is?
And Bill is Pennywise. Oh, and Bill. What's that great?
They're
what's
all,
that
you great? Know I can't tell Swedish people apart.
I know. What's that great movie, Barbarian?
Oh, yes. That's so good.
Anyway, this movie version of the Crow looks awful. Awful. He looks so dumb. He's giving you Jared Leto Joker. It does not read.
Oh, we all know that. That is not, people don't like
it's
that.
It's garbage. And then I looked up who did the movie. It's like the same person who wrote like Snow White and the Huntsman. I'm like, oh, this is going to be such garbage.
Oh, I hated all those movies.
Yeah. So it just, it looks like it's an affront
yeah.
to the original. Whereas Beetlejuice looks like it is true. To the original.
And I want to bring up another hot topic that's going around today, which is a boycott of a horror movie coming up that I wanted to see. And I don't know how I feel about this.
Oh, the
boycott.
Devil thing.
Late Night with the Devil. It's basically like a televised 70s TV show where they're doing an exorcism.
An exorcism.
And creepy
yeah.
shit starts to happen. It looks really good. And everyone says it's really good. But they used AI to generate... the imagery.
Like the promo art?
Oh. No, it's even, it's like, we'll be like in between the stitials when it's like they cut to break. It's like, we'll be right back. But those images are also like art, in yeah. murals behind them while they're talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And part of me was like, oh, this is like a cheap way of doing it. What's the, they were trying not to pay anyone. And it turns out, no, there was an entire graphics team, but they felt it was creepier.
They chose, oh, okay. Yeah.
Doing it in yeah. AI. And also they did this like over 2 years ago.
Right.
Back
when before
then,
we
everybody
really
was
knew.
Doing AI stuff. Like, oh, isn't this
yes.
cool? Look, I just made my face in this AI generator.
Look at
isn't
me
cool?
as a warrior. Yeah.
And now everyone's like, we need to boycott this. And a part of me is like, I feel they made this before
they
the
did.
Backlash of AI happened.
People don't
so
consider context.
Like, I like the idea of having the conversation and shaming them, being like, actually, we shouldn't do this because this will take away jobs. And then being like, oh, you're right. But now people being like, we're going to boycott this film and have the whole kill film fail just because the graphics department used AI. I feel it's just a little.
It's much. Mob mentality.
But at the same time, I do fear for AI taking over everything.
I do fear for that as well.
I have a friend on Facebook who started working at an AI company, and he has, you know, drank the Kool-Aid, and people are like, you're like contributing to like awful things. He's like, fuck all of you. I don't care. And then he just wrote a post recently on Facebook where he was like, you know what I find comforting at night is that at night, not only are humans now chatting and having conversations with each other, but AI is now conversing with each other, AI to AI. And I'm like, that is horrifying. That is
this guy,
not fun. I don't
this
like
guy
that.
Probably watches, he probably watches that movie Her and jerks off.
I know. It's like, no, thank you, Skynet.
he's going to be the first, like, when the AI takes over, he's going to be one of those humans that worked with the AI to betray the human race.
I know. And I would,
like Dr. Greger.
Yeah, and you should say, I probably shouldn't follow him, but he is extremely attractive.
Oh, the weird ones always are.
Yeah. Know what else is weird? The X-Men. How's that segue? It was terrible.
It was terrible. Let's do it, though.
Hit the music.
I was reading X-Men comics in a cocktail bar. That much is true. Yeah.
All right.
We have 2 weeks of books.
What are the ones that came out 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago was Follow the House of X number 3, Dead X-Men number 3, and Wolverine number 45.
All right. Well, let's talk about Wolverine real quick.
Let's talk about Wolverine.
And all right.
We're done. Okay. Good job. I know. It's just like, it just really feels like a long drawn out fight.
Yeah. Let's get to it already.
Let's just get to it already. It's everyone's kind of on their way.
Yeah, everyone's on the big thing. And then Wolverine does get there. But then he does get there. But then basically in the end, Quentin Quire seems to like put them in like the past. Like they're on a former mission from the past.
It's like a mental illusion, right? Like,
and I guess maybe this is Quentin Quire being like, maybe if you guys work out the shit from your past, you won't want to kill each other.
I actually think this is Sabretooth controlling Quentin Quire's head.
Sabretooth is kind of doing this.
Bringing Logan back to the days when they were best friends.
Okay. All right.
And lovers.
I know. This needs a really good reason of like why they hate each other so much.
Is this the issue where Quentin calls it out? Yeah. Sabretooth goes, I know exactly why I'm doing this. Pure hate. And Quentin goes, the emotion has four letters. I'll give you that much.
Yeah. So it's like, I want to break up. I want a thing where Wolverine and them fucked. And then Wolverine's like, actually, I'm not gay. And then Sabretooth is like,
You look at me and like, I want Sabretooth to give you like, what's that scene in Boogie Nights? Philip Seymour Hoffman in Boogie Nights when he's like, sometimes you look at me.
Oh, no. I'm so stupid. Stupid.
The 90s are so in vogue right now.
Boogie Nights. I need to rewatch that movie. Philip Seymour Hoffman was so fucking good in that. I mean, so is Julianne Moore. That was my one. Julianne Moore.
Heather Graham.
The fact that she did not win the Oscar was horrifying to me. She deserved to win.
Oh my God. When Julianne Moore and Heather Graham are doing coke in the bedroom.
Oh yeah. You know what, Roller Girl? You're right, Roller Girl. I redid that whole scene in a jizz episode on my YouTube channel. Which you can watch on YouTube. Look for the Jizz special drug episode.
You know what, Roller Girl?
Anyway, yeah, I do feel like this is still getting to it. At least, you know, another mutant hasn't died yet. But I do feel that they're setting up, what's her name? Ori? What's the fire?
Oya.
Ori.
Oh my God. Wait, Evil Jet. We've never talked about the new X-Men titles and books that dropped.
Yeah, we did. Did we? I thought we did.
Did we? Okay. Well, anyway, more information. They're changing Oya's name.
Oh, yeah. What's her code name now? I saw that, but I forget.
Temper.
Ooh.
Which I guess it's like she runs hot, she runs cold.
Mm-hmm. This is up where she's gonna have a big part because it's gonna lead to her new joining the X-Men.
Yeah, in this you mean?
Yeah,
I don't love calling a black female character Temper.
Yeah,
I don't think I love that.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just call her Angry Black Woman for Christ's
sake. Right, let's just call her Angry Black Woman. That's her new code name.
Yeah, yo, I could see that as problematic, but.
But I also see that, like, she runs hot, she runs cold. Must be the explanation.
Yeah.
Call her Knobs. Call her Faucet.
Call her Thermos.
Call her
Thermos. Sink. Thermos keeps it hot or cold. Keeps hot things hot and cold things cold.
HVAC.
Anyway, all right, let's move on from this. Wolverine was like, whatever.
Let's move on from this book.
Let's do Dead X-Men.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. I had to read this one 3 fucking times. I mean, not really. It's not that complicated.
It's very complicated. And I'll give that. This is the reason when we get into Resurrection and Magneto. It's like, I'm reading a comic, not a fucking book. Okay.
I'm not reading a book.
Like, you know what? It's like, I have to read so many comics every week. I sacrifice reading books. Because I don't have time to read a book.
I want
to
say this
so
about
don't,
the
don't give me a real
right.
book.
Don't give me a real book. I you know how many halfway books I have in my apartment? I have like 3 books that I've read halfway. Okay? I can't do books. I'm just kidding.
I can do love books, books, but it has to have a lot of gay sex. I read a lot of romance novels. That those
I need a lot of gay sex.
But people are
wait,
like
this.
But if someone's just like, oh, this won the Pulitzer Prize, I'm like, I'm sure it did. I can't wait to
oh
see
my
the
God.
Movie. I
there
can't
have been
wait
so
to see
many
the
books.
Movie adaptation.
I'm looking at you. What the fuck is that book that I could not get through and ever like the secret? Oh, The Secret History by Donna Tartt. Anyway, everyone's like, oh my God, it's the best book. I get like halfway through it. I'm like, I can't stand this book. All right, listen. These are comic books. This is not the medium where two characters have a lengthy conversation back and forth.
And if you
because
have,
I'm sorry, yeah, you aren't no. at the level of writing that's going to make that compelling. Every like in comics, it's just one character saying the same thing over and over and the other character saying the same thing over and over.
Yeah, and also, if you need to have 3 pages of dialogue to explain what the fuck is happening, it's too confusing and you need to simplify it. So I'm going to simplify this right now. Basically, the X-Men, Rachel keeps throwing them back into earlier and earlier of Moira's lives. And then that rogue Moira is fucking everything up and going around and trying to kill everybody and fuck these lives up. And then they're kind of like, uh-oh, this probably is going to fuck everything up. Hope it's not. And it's all leading to the dead X-Men, this rogue Moira and Professor Xavier are all going to go back to the original Moira life when she's a little
yeah.
girl, doesn't even know she's a mutant, and he's going to try and kill her. They're going to try and stop her. And that's going to be the crescendo. That's what it's all leading to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so weird because I saw a preview and we saw that early scene of when it was young, the oatmeal scene with young Moira.
Yeah.
And it feels like he's going to the beginning of the 10th life, but they're going to the first one. But the more like the little girl Moira that is going to be at the center of this culminating battle, like she has knowledge of her other lives. So, how is it the first life?
Well, oh, that's right. Is it the first life? Is it the first? I guess the second life is where she knows what's going on as a little kid. Because the first life, she's just living it as a woman.
Yeah.
And just dies.
But is it the beginning of the 10th life? Like, is it the beginning of their
timeline? I don't know. Well,
timeline?
Here's
it's
other
so
problem.
Weird.
Reading this dead X-Men, I was still like, how did they come back? I feel like they just mentioned it in one frame. Like, look, these X-Men are alive. What's happening in the White Hood Room? There is something in the White Hood Room. Where is the White Hood Room? Mother Righteous is in this bubble. Why is she in this bubble? She was in the White Hood Room. There were 5 million things. Where did these people come from? Why is Rachel there? How did she come from there? All of these questions were not answered until X-Men Forever. Should we just start talking about that now? Is there anything else you want to say in Dead X-Men?
No, I don't think there is. Yeah, let's just start talking about X-Men Forever.
X-Men Forever, which should have been released a month ago. I don't understand why this was really... It literally filled in all the gaps. You're like, thank you. But I did not understand. None of these were reveals. It was just like, oh, this is all the shit we forgot to tell you.
Oh,
that
by the way.
Made it really confusing that you didn't know.
Yeah. It's,
I don't know.
It's
it
like,
it almost seemed like the person working on it, like he didn't, it was like, I need an extra month to work on this. And they had to delay the release of it.
I don't also understand why this is a separate book. Why isn't it just Immortal X-Men number whatever?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's continuing up all of those plot lines.
Yeah, it's odd. I mean, we do have Fall of the House of X number 3 that factors into, it's like basically that same story as well.
Yeah.
I could not tell you what happened in Fall of the House of X number 3 and what happened in X-Men Forever.
Well, it's all kind of the same thing. In Fall of the House of X, the thing we need to know is that Manifold is able to transport all the Martian mutants. Back into the sword, that sword.
Yeah. Thing. But that also, I mean, at least, so like, I guess I'm comparing the information reveals in Fall of the House of X versus the information reveals in X-Men Forever. Whereas like Fall of the House of X takes the prophecies that Destiny was saying a few months ago and giving them context.
Yeah.
And that feels a little bit more thoughtful. Then, oh, by the way, here's what Destiny whispered in Sinister's head. I don't know.
Yeah.
X-Men Forever felt more like, here. It felt like Lost.
Because forever ago, do you think they knew what she was whispering in his head when that happened?
Right. That's where I'm going. Or is that just a device?
Then they're like, oh, we need to figure it out. If this was like a no prize or retcon or whatever, I do like the idea that she whispered, hey, I know everything and I know what's going to happen and you're a clone. And the Dominion did that, being like,
yes, the failsafe.
You can't do that to him. So yes, I do like that. And so I also like that Destiny has kind of known everything that was going to happen with Krakoa all the way back in the 1800s. Here's one thing that I did forget.
One thing.
I remembered Mystique was like, I'm done with you. Did Mystique tell Destiny she was done with her? Or did she just discover the shit about Destiny and then left?
I feel like they've said that so many times to each other lately. But the way this reads is that Mystique found Destiny's like latest diary.
And I think it's that because Destiny she's had realizing from her. She's doing all this shitty stuff and fucking everything up just because she wants to like be with Mystique.
And I think that's like the kind of the blame of the sins of Sinister is kind of laid bare there.
And so I think Mystique is like, I'm in a toxic relationship.
I'm in a toxic relationship.
The whole world is bad because she just can't get enough of me eating her box. And so she bolts. And I will say this is funny where we finally find out that Mother Righteous, who's that Professor Xavier actually tells Orbis Stellaris and Dr. Stasis, the other clones, he points them to that library where Mother Righteous is. Professor X sends them there, and then she has to like battle them, and then she's kind of like, she has her little fake mutant doppelganger in the white hot room, and she's like, no, I can be used as like a thing, I can like talk to them. And then I can talk to Mystique. And then I do love it where then it's like, Mystique doesn't want to fucking talk to you.
Yeah, Mystique's like, yeah, no thanks. The big reveal of like, oh my God, she's alive. Destiny's alive. And Mystique's like, fuck her.
Yeah.
I do love the scene where Xavier finds out that everyone's alive.
Yeah.
Through Mother Righteous. Mother Righteous is like, I can talk to the mutants in the white hot room. He's like, the what in the what now?
Yeah.
So Xavier finds out the mutants are alive.
We also find out that he has an extra Doug body and they have an extra cradle. So he's able to load Sinister in a Doug body so that he can manipulate Krakoa.
Right. So thank goodness that it wasn't what I said, that like Xavier just put Sinister in Doug's head. They made another Doug.
Yeah. So the other Doug is still in the kind of
still in Krakoa.
That captured Krakoa.
Right.
But still that no place see... is still part of Krakoa, I guess.
Yeah, and we see Juggernaut protecting that Krakoa in, again, Fall of the House of X. So confusing, which is in what?
Yeah, but this whole entire thing of like, she doesn't want to talk to you. What?
She doesn't want to talk to you, what?
Oh, she read the diaries.
She read my diary. I do love the, what happened to my wife? Which is kind of a mirror to Mystique going, I want my wife back.
Yeah. And basically, but the thing I still don't understand is that if this leads up to Rachel being totally clueless, I'm going to be very pissed because I just find it hard. Rachel is like one of the highest, she's not Omega, but one of the highest level telepaths that she can't even pick up Sinister's mind and Doug. Like Xavier's blocking all that from her. I don't know. I mean, I guess Xavier versus Rachel, he is more powerful, but
you know, Betsy's checking in on that shit too.
Yeah,
like you've got Betsy's mind there as well.
We also never knew where were Rachel and Betsy when all this went down? Were they in England? Did they resist? Did they stay out? I can't remember.
They did. So they do. They do show in that Marvel Unlimited.
Oh, so they are one of the resistors. Okay.
Yeah.
So
they do show outside. A red triangle moment. Yeah.
Yeah. So this, I'm just was happy to know. And I went through and like read a bunch of comments, and all of the comments reading up on this comic were all like, why thank you for answering these questions, but why?
Why weren't they just folded into the story?
Why weren't they folded? Exactly. These were all bits and pieces that were like left out for like, it feels like they were trying to do it for a storytelling to leave like a reveal, but none of these were reveals. They were just plot holes.
The reveal is Enigma. So you couldn't really like do the scene with Destiny whispering without revealing the whole Enigma
That's the only one. Everything else though. All right. Well, whatever. Let's talk about Fall of the House of X real quick.
Yeah.
This is basically just a story of Dr. Stasis being killed.
Woohoo! And guess who did it?
Well, we get a bit of a tag team. He's like, hey, you can't use any of your psychic powers on me. And Kitty Pryde's like, because I have this chip that prevents it. And Kitty Pryde's like, oh, like when I punched through your head and phased and I took the chip out of your head. I'm like, girl,
these two make such a good team.
And then she's like, she's all yours. And then Emma basically makes him live his worst fear to the point where he's just going to have a heart attack.
Yeah. She scares him to death.
And then she's like, oh, good. And then takes a sip of vodka.
She takes her flask. Yeah. I'm assuming it's a clear. I think she's a more clear.
But the Sink was able to save Firestar. And Firestar to decide to come in and be like, hey, he still has a few drones left.
It's actually a hilarious scene where she does it. She kills him. She hits the flask. Kitty was like, I feel like that didn't do the trick. And Emma's like, what are you saying? I killed him inadequately. And then boom, here comes Firestar.
She incinerates him.
And they're like, okay, well now, that was due diligence.
It would be funny if she's like, you did us proud burning him up like that. And she's like, yeah, like my fucking horse. Like, oh, God damn it. You're going to bring that up again?
It is very nice. I do love the panel where Emma wipes away Firestar's tear.
Yeah, but isn't it nice also seeing this redemption of, here's Emma with probably the two teenagers that she like did the most wrong
that she traumatized the most.
That are now like standing side to side. Like fighting on side to side. I love that.
It's fantastic. And I do love that Emma picked up Jean's mess. Like, I mean Jean's mess lovingly. Like, Jean is the one who set up Firestar to do all of this, and rightfully so, but then Emma's the one that kind of caught her.
And then Dr. Gregor. They go to Nimrod. She's like, oh, I did realize it was the robots, but that's my husband. But he's part of the robots, but it's still my husband.
And Cyclops is like, that is not your husband. Like, that's please not stop your husband. Walking she's towards
like,
him.
Yeah, it is. And then he just fucking snaps her neck. And I'm like,
oh, so gross.
Well, you fucking deserve that because literally I saw that coming a mile away, you dumb piece of shit.
And so now it's Cyclops is in there with Nimrod, and it's the big reveal, which is like, this feels like another like, all right, shit, let's just do this. Let Sentinel City, which they established a while back on Jupiter, is actually building some giant bomb that they're going to use to like drop on the Earth. Okay.
Great. And then we see coming up next, we see for the next issue, we just see a Moira on the bench scene from, you know, is that... from Powers of 10?
House of X.
Or is that House of X? House of X. And then there's a gun pointed at her, which is clearly probably Xavier or...
I saw a few panels of the preview of this issue of the next one. And it does begin with a Moira who is aware, you know, of her past stuff, going and seeing Xavier on the bench as a little girl. And he's like, I just want to talk to you.
Yeah.
He does point a gun at her, I think.
Interesting.
And then she's like, why do you look so hot with a beard, daddy?
Let's talk about something called Invincible Iron Man.
Okay.
Or should we just call it a Voltron?
Yeah. Or should
maybe
we call
have
it
three
a Voltron
panels
coloring
where
book?
There's a human face in it?
It's a Voltron coloring book. What is wild about this issue? I've never seen this. Every page is a splash page. There are no panels at all in this issue. And this to me is like, how do you meet a crazy deadline? I know. We're just going to do one drawing per page. And hardly move the action along. But I get it. It's a fight with giant robots. So you take up the whole real estate. Sure, fine, sure.
It's him fighting the robots. I mean, he gets rid of most of the robots, but then Phalong comes as War Machine, which is what he wanted. But then Phalong just like immediately goes for the core and the battery runs out and he's like, oh no. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like you should have like
maybe planned for that.
Planned for that. But I have a feeling like his thing. So I feel like, but it's leading to a man versus man. We have the machines fighting machines. Now it's just going to be Fei Long and him.
Yeah.
Duking it out.
They're going to put up their dukes and they're going to duke it out. And I just want to get to the Emma stuff.
Now get down to it. Come on,
you gotta
Mr. Stark. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, that leaves us just with Resurrection of Magneto.
Which is, oh my goodness. Okay, I love when somebody faces their shadows, but my God.
But does it need to be a book?
It's great. It's quality, I guess. It's fine. It just felt a little like over and over. Like
it's a little over and over. And it's also, I'm Storm. I know who I am. I'm like, yeah, I already know.
We know.
I feel like she's battled her demons so many times. I would have rather been like, this is a test. She's like, I'm done. Bye. Storm is just above battling any demons. If no one knows who they are more than Storm, and she's not a real character. I think if people were like, who of all in the world living knows who they are more than anyone,
like
I would
Storm.
Be like, Aurora Monroe.
No,
they're
a
like,
real
she's
person.
Not real. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but still, no one still can come.
I'm sorry, but she's
Aurora Monroe.
The mother of cuntitude. That's as real as it gets.
Yeah, and so, and it's also for me, Storm is just so above it that in a weird way, it kind of lessens the stakes for me. Because
right,
I'm just
right.
like, I'm outsmarted you. I'm like, yeah.
But a lot
Storm.
Of, it's funny, a lot of this too is like that whole thing of turning her into the kind of crystal version, like her old self. Where it was all about, is that all I am? Just flawless perfection, just beauty? And no, I'm not. I'm so much more. I have flaws. And I'm like, okay, but
and I'm like,
no,
yeah,
you're
that
actually...
was Mohawk era. That all happened in Mohawk era.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And then when she
you
got
actually
her powers
are flawless
back,
beauty.
Then, yeah, I it does make me realize Storm does need a foil. Like she needs a challenge.
Well, that's, I mean, the Shadow King, I can see what Al Ewing is doing here.
Because the Shadow King has tried to
very
take
much
her
foil.
Over. And
yeah,
it's definitely
very much
her
an
foil,
arch
but she's already, I feel she's already conquered it. I feel like they need to create a new, and more like an, I think they need to create a new inner conflict with her.
Yeah. Or outer conflict, and she can join Congress. There you go.
Yeah, something. Because I was like you, I'm reading this, and I'm just like, yeah, you get them.
We all know where this is going.
But I know you're going to get them. But it's also, in a weird way, I think the problem is I have so much respect for Storm. It's like insulting, where she's like, I have to tell you that I'm above. And I'm like, yeah, I know, girl.
To me, this was... it was about Storm. It was also about Al Ewing's whole concept thesis this entire time of it's better to work together than to work alone.
Yeah.
You know, and like, it's like that as soon as she was like, aha, he said alone and I see his trap. I'm like, okay, I get it. Like we have to work together. It's all about teamwork and
but
help.
You know
and
what?
Being
I feel
vulnerable,
like a kindergartner
fine.
Could have figured that out. Like you watch
but it's just, it's that,
Sesame Street.
It's been that
it
over and over. And like, that's what Al Ewing's sword X-Men Red, like that has been the core of the book. And it's like, okay, let's hit it one more time and then let's get out of it.
But I do like that this isn't over yet and Magneto is now back in the human world. I thought this was going to last.
It'll end with,
So at least we get another issue with like dealing with him in the real world, which I was hoping.
Is he young? Is he a lot younger now? He looks it.
He does look young. Well, I mean, hey, you know what? They already de-aged him once. Because that was the one thing, and they didn't deal with the de-aging thing. And then in X-Men, the cartoon, he was like, when he was saying, I guess in 1997, if you were in World War II, which was in the late 40s, so that's 50 years. So he'd be like 60.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't need to explain that. I mean, if they did have an explanation, they don't need one.
But
that
even
still
in the
falls
world,
within.
Yeah, but then he looks pretty good for fucking, maybe it's the magnetic.
He looks pretty good for 60, but also it's that, young. It's them Folsom gloves too.
Yeah.
But, they keep you young looking.
Yeah. But, you know, I will say I'm, you know, I am excited to like where, what is going to happen to Mars in this new age?
Well, I was worried when Manifold teleported them all off of Mars.
But it wasn't the Arrakens. Like, it was just the Earth humans.
Oh, I thought it was all the Arrakens.
No, I thought it was just all of the Earth humans that were brought on. And then anybody else who wanted to fight. I don't think everyone left Mars.
Oh, my understanding was that he just teleported everyone the fuck off.
Oh, was it? But also why? I guess just to have more battle people. I don't know.
I guess just to have more battle people.
But then they could just go back to Mars like when they're done. I don't know. That would be weird if they just abandoned Mars. Hey, we have
I'm wondering, like, how do you de-terraform? Like, I'm wondering if it's de-terraformed, you know?
Oh, no, this is what's going to happen. All right, this is my guess.
Okay.
They took everybody off of Mars, so no one's on it. Oh, and on Jupiter, there's Sentinel City, a planet-killing bomb.
Oh, boom.
It's going to drop on Mars and make it inhabitable. Like, the way they stop it is they make it hit Mars instead.
Yep.
And then we're back to square one.
Back to square one.
I was like, I have some friends that are X-Men fans but don't keep up with the comics, and they were just raving about the cartoon. And I was like, and they're like, yeah, it's just too complicated to read the comics. And I'm like, starting in June, it's kind of starting over. So this is the time to pick it up. And they're like, what's been happening? And then I went on like a 5-minute rant and they just looked at me of like,
and you're like, hello, where'd they go?
Like, they're like, what? But it was like, I was like, they're like, that's a lot. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. But don't worry. They'll erase it all in a few short weeks. Which is so sad. So there's a rumor. There was like this rumor going around of what the premise of each of these books are, including the ones that we didn't see any art for. We just saw titles like Phoenix and X-Force.
Okay.
But there's a rumor that in this kind of leak, quote unquote, who knows how real this is? It's probably not. The Uncanny X-Men book and the Exceptional X-Men book will be kind of tethered to one another. Like, they'll be kind of connected, which is great because one is Scott's team and one is Emma's team.
Yeah.
So that's fucking cool. But it says that one of the leads in Uncanny X-Men is going to have a non-traditional romance with the main character from Exceptional X-Men. And it's going to be maybe turning a character who we thought was straight queer. And so I'm like,
Wait, which one's Uncanny? Scott's team?
Uncanny is Scott with Ileana.
And Exceptional is Emma's.
With Kitty. So I can only think they're talking about Kitty and Ileana.
Oh, okay.
And then Kitty Scott and Emma would be like, Scott's going to be like, my adopted daughter is a lesbian now. And Emma's going to be like, my adopted daughter is a lesbian now too.
Wait, Ileana's Scott's adopted daughter?
They have a father-daughter relationship, yeah. From the Bendis days.
Okay, but not like officially.
No, but
what will Colossus say? You know how the Russians feel about homosexuals.
Oh my God, Plain Jane hates them.
Oh my God, is this our cue to talk about Drag Race?
I guess.
All right, let's hit the music.
I always feel like I'm watching a comic movie or TV.
Drag Race. We've missed a couple of... We didn't talk about Drag Race for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but luckily there wasn't an elimination on one of the weeks we didn't talk about it.
But, no, there...
Right, didn't we skip it when there wasn't an elimination?
No, there were two eliminations these past 2 weeks.
Oh, was that 3 weeks ago?
I think we might not have talked about it then either. No, I think we did talk about it. But anyway, we lost Maya Amon LePage.
Yes.
Finally. And finally. I remembered, it was like, we need to get rid of her. And when Morphine was in the bottom, I was like, if anyone
this can is
beat
it.
This bitch, it's her.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
she tore that lip sync up.
I have really like started to become a little obsessed with Morphine these past like 2 weeks.
Has the best makeup, and she can fucking kill it on the lip syncs. Like that split and her just holding it and then yawning at
so
her
great.
When she did
at
a backflip and then finally landing the split. It just was like the comedy and the technique. She does the comedy and the technique and the kicks and the death drops and the splits. And then and then it was like, how do we get rid of Dawn this week?
Oh, the producers had a really good idea.
You're
They're like,
going
we know.
To give White Girl Dawn body by Megan Thee Stallion and put the girl with the BBL morphine
on
that?
I don't know.
Morphine did the full actual choreography.
Right.
To Megan, from Megan Thee Stallion. It was like, and
Dawn
honestly,
didn't know what was happening around her.
Dawn was like, knew all the words. She was selling it, but it's just like a
You're
white
not.
Girl cannot. It would be a crime against humanity for a white girl to win with that song.
Oh my god. How about so Maya got eliminated when the fashion challenge was Drag Race 1980.
That's right.
Did you see where she got her look?
Yeah, the Google. I googled it.
And she found it the first. It was the first image on the image search. It was an AI generated
something
image.
That wasn't even 80s.
It wasn't even 80s. And she copied it.
Hilarious. That was that. I mean, that did make it kind of hilarious to me.
Oh God, it's wild.
But that was the other one, which I want to talk about it because I was talking about it with Joe, who is Asian, and there were some other Asian people watching it, and they brought up how in the one challenge,
In the seminar challenge,
in the
Nymphia.
Seminar challenge, Nymphia did an accent, and they were like, I don't feel that was appropriate. And then even Joel Kim Booster was like, I think she can do it. It's
she
fine
can do
if she
it.
Does
you
it.
Can't
they
do it.
They kept on like referencing it. And I think it's because Manila did it a lot and then Plastic Tiara and people gave them shit for it. But
yeah.
I feel Manila's was not good because she is Filipino and she was doing like a Chinese accent. And I think that's like not your heritage. So that's kind of weird. I think when you're doing your own heritage's accent,
mm-hmm.
I think that is the privilege of being that minority.
Right.
You can, it's like a gay saying faggot. Like you get to do that accent.
It's about context.
Know.
Like it's
and then
not
being able to say like, oh, well, as people that aren't part of that culture, I don't want to laugh at it. It feels even more condescending to me.
Right. Right.
So I don't know that. And that rubbed my Joe the wrong way too of like, wait, so Asians can't speak with an Asian accent because
right.
it's hurting Asians? Like
it's like us making fun of, like it's us like heightening our flamboyancy, you know, like
and I
just because we're in on the joke.
Yeah, and I can understand if the only thing that was supposed to be funny was that she had an accent, but she was being funny. She was doing other funny things.
Right.
She was
right.
the only one interacting with the audience, doing improv, like talking to the audience. Like I felt she did. I honestly felt she did the best, and she had the best outfit.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt she should have won, but I think they were scared to do it
to
because
reward
of the
that.
Accent.
And you knew, like, the internet would go crazy.
Yeah. And I do hate that of the idea that just being so scared of internet trolls, even if they're maybe misguided.
Right.
So, but you know, the world
it is interesting. So Safira won that seminar challenge over Q and Plain, who I guess felt like they brought it. And I guess felt like they did not mess up and Safira did. But I believe Miss Q, who got so mad, and Plain did not, because I think Plain gets it.
Yeah.
That was a presence competition. Mm-hmm. And Joe Kim Booster even called that out about presence. Like, that's what that challenge was. Like, that was about presence. And
also,
Safira had the best presence of anyone on that stage.
And also, as someone who has seen the Trixie and Katya show live, Trixie Katya gives a seminar and starts it by going, first, some clips, and shows a bunch of hair clips.
Oh, that's a Katya joke. Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
I will
and RuPaul
people are
knows
people
that.
Are saying people are saying it could be parallel thinking. It's not the most original joke. Anyone could have thought about that. But I would be like, anyone could have thought about that, but I 100% know Q, who watches all of Drag Race, and Plain Jane, who watches everything Katya probably does. They fucking had seen that. They have seen Katya do that.
Absolutely. And they led with the slides take on that joke just to like soften the blow that they stole the clips
on. And that bothered me. So I was fine with Safira getting the win. But then here was the other thing is the next week, the fact that Q was so discombobulated. It was very much like Lucy Liduca when she's like, I'm like shocked that I wasn't in
delusional.
The top two.
Yeah.
It becomes delusional. And also she's like, well, I'm just not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. It's just like, you like don't deserve it. You don't deserve it, but I'm just not going to say anything.
Yeah.
And the next day she was like, what? I was just being quiet because I didn't want to make a big deal out of it. And it's like, no, you having that stank face was making a huge deal out of it.
I know. And I can also
that makes you the audience is going to hate you.
She did suggest that she didn't want to speak because she knew she was heated and she knew she would regret saying something. But then the next day she said the nastiest thing when she had when her temperature had quote unquote cooled, she still said that horrible thing to Safira.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. All you had to end, but Safira, who is like, the exemplary of like, she's someone who is like, I feel like she has been to therapy. She has worked. She's fucking Aurora.
Absolutely.
Know what it is? She's a fucking Aurora Monroe.
She's an Aurora Monroe.
She's the Aurora Monroe of Drag Race. I know she can handle any challenge. She was just like, there's a big difference between saying, I feel I was robbed. I feel I deserved it. Than saying, you didn't deserve it. It's a huge, and it's like, that's what it was. And Q had to finally like stick her tail between her legs and be like, all right, I said the wrong word.
Because, I mean, if I was Safira, I would have come for Q with like, do you not get that it was a presence challenge?
No,
and while
and
you got your lines
so
right,
diplomatic.
You had no presence.
Oh, she's so fucking diplomatic.
She also doesn't realize that like, she's one of those people like Lucy LaDuca. You've got all the technical skills and prowess going on.
You need the personality.
But you're missing something and it's an intangible and you don't have it.
It's the charm.
It's the charm.
It's
the riz.
Oh,
it's
the charisma.
The riz, bitch.
The charisma.
It's the riz, bitch. You don't have the riz. And also, she like put her heart out there.
She has the uniqueness. She has the uniqueness. She's an unt. She has the uniqueness, nerve, and talent, but she doesn't have the charisma.
That's right. You can't serve unt and win Drag Race.
Yes, and but right now, Nymphia has kind of fallen a bit to the wayside, and Morphine is kind of...
Yeah.
Becoming a new fan favorite. And then we also still have Plain Jane always doing great.
Always. I still predict Plain.
The improv between Safira and Plain Jane in that bathroom thing was just...
Oh, it was incredible.
It was incredible.
Oh, how about that pit crew guy who was chained up to the wall?
All of those pit crew guys, and they had to wipe their makeup on their face.
Oh my God.
That one.
Oh, I'm so horny.
That one, he looked like Hercules from Marvel Comics.
Oh. Oh,
so fucking hot.
Yeah.
Wait, who are you?
I followed him on Twitter. Oh, you want to do that. Trust me.
Oh, really? Oh, send me.
We're showing dick on Maine.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Send me a link to his Twitter. Does he have an OnlyFans?
Probably. What I saw on the Twitter.
Okay. So anyway, who do we have left? We have Plain Jane, Safira, Nymphia, Morphine, and Q.
Yes.
That's five. Lately, they've been going down to a top
three. Yeah.
Who is your top three? Who would be the three?
It would be Safira, Plain, and Nymphia.
Yeah. I agree.
Because Nymphia's fashion, it's untouchable.
Next level.
Her look in the chains, the one that Dawn got sent... That was impeccable.
Because unless Morphine can win this next challenge, it doesn't have the track record to be a winner.
Does not have the track. Like, unless the challenge is like for her. Like, if it's like a BBL challenge.
From like Rosé and Jane.
Yes.
Where it's like you have the talent, but you're missing a bit of that charisma.
Yep.
And
bitch can't dance, period. Bitch cannot dance. You can't win. I'm sorry.
But I also
feel dance,
I don't think Plain's going to take it.
Plain sure did shit the bed in that girl group. I was like, ooh, that's really bad. I can see that Plain coming out. Well, when they did the song about power.
Oh, yeah.
The voting song.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
She was unbelievably bad.
I thought she was just unmemorable. I didn't think she just didn't have funk. But you know what? But that's the other thing is like, most white people don't have fun.
I do.
So, you know, you have funk?
I have funk.
I was wondering what that smell was.
I need to take a shower.
All right. Well, I think we just finished it up.
All right. That's great. Yeah, you know, these books, they're not at the level of the animated show.
We're hoping, though, it's all leading up to a brand new start, a brand new beginning, and a brand new excitement for the comics world.
Can I say one more thing about the show?
Yeah.
Did you notice that Emma Frost is in the opening title sequence when the villains are running at the X-Men?
Wasn't that in the original one too?
No, I went back and looked.
Oh, but you notice they added her. Each opening titles is a little different.
Yeah, because they added Magneto.
Yeah, but I know they even added a little bit of the, when they're showing us some of the battle things, they change a little bit.
Yep, yep. I'm just saying that they added Emma Frost on a purpose.
And you know what else everyone was getting angry about? That they made Rogue's butt less bubbly.
God, people are the worst.
And you know what else is the worst? That this show's over.
Yeah.
But have no fear. If you are wanting to listen to the show and you're like, what is this? Should I listen to
the
show?
What is it?
But I'm not gay. But you can be. It's a very easy way to be gay. You just have to pick up a comic and read it. Because if you read comics, then that makes you
queer.
Queer. You said it so fast. Queer.
Queer. I never said it like I wanted to say it the pejorative. Queer.
Queer.
Bye. Bye.